Christmas season is titled Don't Miss Christmas Again. Don't miss Christmas again. Have you ever missed a really important date? Perhaps a birthday of a loved one, or maybe your wedding anniversary? And when that happens, doesn't it just make you feel terrible? Well, Christmas is a date that you can't really miss, because the stores and the television commercials have made that virtually impossible. Since October, they've had out the Christmas decorations. They've played Christmas music. They've counted down in commercials how many shopping days were left. Now, I remember as a child how much I loved Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. I still love Christmas. I've got the decorations up the day after Thanksgiving. And one year, our family missed Christmas completely, because my brother, unfortunately, was hospitalized during that time, and he went to be with the Lord just a few weeks later. And it was a very sad time for me and for our family, having lost my brother. But something else that's very sad is that many people this year and every year, they miss Christmas. Not because they're hospitalized, or not because they're stationed abroad in the military. And it's not that they won't celebrate the holiday, but they simply have no idea what they're celebrating. But that really is nothing new, because the Bible tells us of some folks who missed the very first Christmas as well. And today we're going to look at some of those people and see why they missed Christmas, because as we consider them and the spirit or the attitude that caused them to miss Christmas, we'll realize that that attitude or that spirit still lives on in the hearts and lives of many people today, and it causes them to continue to miss Christmas. But particularly, they don't just miss the holiday Christmas, but they miss what Christmas is all about. The fact that Jesus came to be our Lord and our Savior. So we want to look at the first attitude that causes us to miss Christmas. And that first attitude is the spirit of busyness. The spirit of busyness. And we see that reflected in the life of the innkeeper. And we really only see one verse that refers to him in Luke chapter 2 verse 7. And it says, "And she," speaking of Mary, "brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, many people miss Christmas because they're simply preoccupied. They're simply too busy. And if you look back at the original Christmas story, it was a census time in the Roman Empire, which meant that everybody had to travel and return to their hometown in order to be registered so the Roman government could get their taxes. Well, in Bethlehem, the town of David, every living descendant of King David had to travel back to Bethlehem. It was a tiny little town, and because everybody who was a descendant of David was there, the town was very crowded, and the innkeeper was extremely busy. But he was happy because the crowds were great for business. He wasn't hostile. He didn't mind Christmas. It was bringing in some big profits for him. His inn was full. Business was booming. Now, he wasn't unsympathetic towards the plight of pregnant Mary having to give birth. He was just busy. That's all. Just like millions of people today, their souls are consumed with perpetual activity. Maybe not necessarily sinful activity, but just things that keep them busy. Working, shopping, banquets, parties, concerts, school activities and programs, sports, and a host of other things that are all competing for their time and for their attention. I took my mom to the doctor a few months ago, and she had been witnessing to her nurse and inviting her to come to church since the previous year. And when I went with her, she introduced her nurse to me and said, "This is my daughter, the one that I was telling you is the pastor." And the nurse immediately began to apologetically say, "Oh, how nice. I really am going to come. Your mom's been inviting me for over a year now. And it's just been so busy at work." Of course, I was thinking to myself, the doctor's office is not open on Sundays. Now, she really was very pleasant about it. But she just felt that she was too busy. She had no time for church, and She really had no room for Christ in her busy life. Many people miss Christmas because there simply is no room for Christ in their life. The innkeeper was busy, the town was crowded, and his inn was packed, and there just was no room for Jesus. In the clutter of all the activity of their lives, many people today have simply crowded Jesus out. They have no room for him in their life. Reminds me of the story of a lady who went to her pastor, and she said, "Oh, preacher, I'd really like to serve the Lord, but I just don't have the time. Between raising my daughter and working at my job and taking my daughter to soccer practice and soccer games and scrapbooking and going to my scrapbooking club on Saturdays and working out at the gym 4 times a week, writing my daily blog on the internet and keeping up with The Bachelorette, Survivor, and American Idol. And by the time Sunday rolls around, well, it's the only day that my husband and I have to take the boat out and spend the day at the lake or go paintballing or riding ATVs in the desert. We just don't have the time to serve the Lord, but we really would like to." But she's like so many others who have filled their life with the clutter of many things so that there's just no room for Jesus. You know, we may even come to church on Sunday morning, but there's no room for Jesus in our life. And if something more pressing, more important, according to our estimate, comes up, church is the first thing that goes. Come on now, we know it happens. We just crowd Jesus out with all the activities. We have no time for him beyond Sunday morning. Don't even talk to us about Sunday night. Don't talk to us about Wednesday night. Don't ask us to teach a Sunday school class. Don't ask us to sing in the choir. We really would like to serve. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, we really love Jesus. But we just don't have the time. But the truth is, every one of us has exactly the same amount of time as everyone else. 24 hours in every day, 7 days a week. It's not that we don't have the time. It's not we have not set Christ as the priority of our life. You see, the question is, what are we spending our time? What are we, better said, squandering our time on? Are we squandering our time on things that are meaningless and empty and temporary? Or are you investing your time in that which is eternal and that which is of utmost value and importance? You see, you'll never be able to take that Lexus with you to heaven. You won't be able to take that 2,400 square foot house in Silver Lakes with you to heaven. But if you sat week after week in a classroom of 6-year-olds and you taught them about Jesus and one of them accepted Christ and went on to serve the Lord, you're going to be able to take that soul with you to heaven. Amen. And Jesus is going to reward you for that. What are you squandering your time on, or what are you investing your time in? Have you made room for Christ in your life? And thankfully, many people here today, this morning, you have made room for Christ in your lives. You have made Christ a priority. I look out and I see many of you in this congregation for whom Christ is a priority. He's not just an extra. Church is not just an extra that you add on in your life, but it's central to your life. And serving Christ is central to your life. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Have you made him your priority? And in so doing, have you found meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life? Have you made Christ your priority? The spirit of busyness can cause you to miss Christmas. It can cause you to miss Christ. The second attitude that can cause you to miss Christmas is the spirit of selfishness. And we see that reflected in a man named Herod. And he was the king of Judah at that time. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The scripture says Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. When Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, as were all the people in Jerusalem. Herod called a meeting of all the leading priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scriptures, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not just an insignificant village in Judah. A ruler will come from you who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod had a secret meeting with the wise men and learned from them the exact time they first saw the star. He sent the wise men to Bethlehem saying, "Look carefully for the child. When you find him, come and tell me so I can worship him too." But Herod's intention was not to worship him at all. His intention was to kill him. Now, some people miss Christmas because they're preoccupied with themselves. Herod was an extremely egotistical king. He had virtually bought the right to rule over the Jews. He murdered his mother and his sons to remove any potential heirs to the throne. He ordered that upon his death, his soldiers should execute a mass murder among the people to ensure that there would be much grieving in the land during his own funeral so that people would think everybody was broken up about him. He built an opulent palace that he named after himself. He called it the Herodium. And you could see it for miles. It was an amazing feat of architecture and engineering. And in fact, Herod literally removed the mountain that stood next to it so that nothing would tower above it in the landscape. The Herodium was taller than even the Egyptian pyramids. He built a monument to himself while he was still alive, because he was extremely into himself. The spirit of selfishness still prevails today, even though it may be disguised a little bit more subtly than Herod. We teach children from a young age that Christmas is about getting gifts, and we encourage them to make a list of things they want. And I've been hearing on the radio this week a jeweler, and they've come up with a commercial that says that, no offense to you men, these are not my words, it's the commercial's words, that men don't know what to get their wives for or their women for Christmas. So the commercial is encouraging the women to help them out. They're encouraging you to go into their store or online to their website and pick out the ring or the earring or the bracelet or the necklace that you want, all filled with diamonds and what have you, and then give your husband the list, and he'll be relieved to know that he's going to get you a gift you want instead of that blender or that vacuum cleaner that you're going to be upset with, you see. And then there's a Keurig commercial. Have you seen it on TV? Where the guy's sleeping and at night she's whispering in his ear, "Get Susan a Keurig." And he opens his eyes and the sheet is on the ceiling and it says, "Buy Susan a Keurig." You know? And there is this spirit of selfishness. It's all about me and what I want. And just in case we don't get what we want, it has become common practice for people to buy themselves a Christmas gift. How many of you are planning, you don't have to raise your hand, to get yourself a Christmas gift? You know, you got your eye on that flat screen TV. In fact, some of you might have camped out Black Friday so you could get yourself your Christmas gift. But our selfishness goes far beyond that, because our selfishness often causes us to reject Christ, like Herod did, because there's only room for one person on the throne of our heart. If we acknowledge Christ as Lord, then we have to give him control. We have to surrender our life to him. Then our life will not be about our will and what we want. It'll be about his will and what he wants. And then he's going to want our time. He's going to want our commitment. He's going to want our service. He might even want some of our money. God forbid. And how will we get that flat screen TV? And we are too busy building monuments to ourselves. Not buildings like the Herodium. Our monuments are careers. Our monuments are big houses. Our monuments are nice cars. Our monuments are the latest, greatest, highest tech possessions that we can get. And we're too busy building monuments for ourselves. And then there's some people that they miss Christmas because they perceive Christ as a threat. When the wise men asked, "Where is he that is born the King of the Jews?" The words "born king" must have cut through the heart of Herod like a dagger. Verse 3 says, Herod was troubled. He was disturbed. What was glad tidings of good news to bring peace and hope to the world brought fear to Herod's soul. He was troubled because God's word pierced his heart and he did not want to receive it. And I'm always amazed at how troubled the world is at the word Christ or even Christmas. One of my friends was in the post office and posted on Facebook, and he said he was looking at the array of holiday stamps. And one of the stamps had either a menorah or Star David, I forget what it was, but probably a menorah, and it said, "Happy Hanukkah." And there was another stamp with some kind of emblem on it, And it said, "Happy Kwanzaa." And then there were two other stamps, one with a poinsettia and some other emblem, and had nothing to do with Christ. And no word Christmas, just the poinsettia or the other picture, but no word Christmas. And he found that very interesting, that the world is so afraid of the word Christ. And you'll see it in cities. They'll put up the menorah. They'll put up whatever represents Kwanzaa or whatever. But you can't have a nativity scene. Oh no, that's anathema. You're breaking the law. Why are they so afraid? So afraid of Christ. Where is he who is born king? Those words troubled Herod's soul. They pierced through his heart. He did not want to receive those words. He was troubled because he knew that one greater than himself had come, and he did not want to surrender his control. He did not want to surrender his throne to another. You see, he was sitting on the throne of David, a throne he had no right to. Because he was not a descendant of David. He was appointed by the Roman government. And heaven had no regard for his title. And so when he heard about the one who was born king, the one who had right to the title, he perceived Jesus as a threat. Jesus was going to upset his entire life, everything he had fought so hard for. He could not let this happen. So even though he pretended that he wanted to find out where Jesus was so he could come and worship him, he went through the outward motions of saying that he wanted to celebrate Christmas. But in truth, his intent was to murder Jesus. And when the wise men didn't come back to him and give him the specific information that he wanted so he could kill that one child, his egotistical, maniacal brain caused him to end up ordering a massacre of all male children under the age of 2 just to protect his throne. Herod was hostile towards Christ, even as the political environment of the world today is hostile towards Christ. This was Herod's first and last Christmas, because verse 19 begins with the word, "after Herod's death." He died without the love of family and friends. He died without God and without salvation in Christ. He was alone without God on his first and his last Christmas. And we live in a world that is filled with Herods today. There might even be some here. They're going through the outward motion of celebrating Christmas, the holiday, but they are hostile towards Christ. They're not going to let anything interfere with their career, their position, their power, their ambition, their plans, their lifestyle. They're not about to allow someone else to be the king of their life. And like Herod, they perceive Jesus as a threat. And so they miss Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong. People don't mind taking off work at Christmas time. They don't mind getting time off. They don't mind, you know, having celebrations. But they don't want Christ to be their king. They don't even mind singing some of the songs of the season. Oh, holy night. They're not paying attention to the word. One of my friends posted on Facebook this album somebody put out. And on it was a beautiful rendition, I think, of Oh, Holy Night. But right after that, the song was Baby, It's Cold Outside. And they said, do they even listen to the words of the song? 1 minute you're hailing Jesus as Christ, the next minute you've got a song about two unmarried people, one of them trying to coax the other one to stay the night and sin, which is the whole reason Jesus had to come and die in the first place. And we listen to them right back to back. 1 minute, oh, holy night. The next, baby, it's cold outside. And we're like, oh, what a beautiful song. So they don't mind taking off work. They don't mind even, you know, having their favorite artist, some secular person who's living the most ungodly life, sing a song that has to do with Christ. But don't let Christ mess up their life. Many are like the people in the parable Jesus told in Luke 19:14, when they cried out, we will not have this man to reign over us. And many people today say, I will not have this man. I will not have Christ to reign over me. So they miss Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas. They miss Christ. Thankfully, here today, many people in this place, you have recognized Christ as the Lord of your life, and you have surrendered the throne of your life to him. The question is, have you? And then thirdly, the attitude that will cause you to miss Christmas is the spirit of indifference. The spirit of indifference. And this is reflected in the lives of the religious leaders. You see, some people know the facts about Christmas, and yet they still miss Christmas. If you look again at Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, when Herod had heard of the birth of a new king, he called together the religious leaders of the day and asked what they knew. Did they know where this baby would be born? And they answered him. They quoted scriptures. And they told him what the prophets had written and exactly what the prophets had said about where the Messiah would be born. And yet they missed Christmas. They knew all the facts, but they missed Jesus. And there are some people who know the scriptures and they know the details of Christ's coming. They know why he came. They will go to church on Christmas Sunday. They may even go to church on Christmas Eve. They may even be involved in or put on a big production for Christmas. But they miss Jesus. They may be religious outwardly. They may go through all the right motions externally. But Jesus is not a reality in their day-to-day life. They don't have a personal and living relationship with Christ that transforms their lives daily. And some people, they simply don't care. They simply don't care. And so they miss Christmas. They miss Christ. If the religious leaders knew the prophecy and all that the scripture said about Christ coming, if they even knew exactly where Christ could be found, how come they didn't go there? Why weren't they seeking him? How come they didn't go to Bethlehem along with the shepherds or the wise men? And the truth is, they just didn't care. They were indifferent. They didn't feel that they needed a Savior, because they felt they were righteous just the way they were. They were self-righteous. They kept the law. They were good people. They felt that they were okay just as they were. It wasn't particularly at this time, even though later on they would be, it wasn't particularly at this time that they were hostile towards Christ, but they just ignored him. And indifference is a terrible sin against Christ. God talks about it in scriptures like in Revelation chapter 3. You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. You're indifferent. I can take him or I can leave him. And he says, and because you're not hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God hates indifference. And sadly, indifference is one of the most common reactions of people towards Christ today. They've heard about Christ, may know about Christ, may even have come to church. Some can even quote scripture. But they are indifferent towards Christ. Like an inoculation that injects a person with a small strain of the virus to protect you from catching the full-blown version. You got the flu inoculation. You got the flu shot. They injected some of the flu virus into your body so that you could build up antibodies against it. And you develop an immunity, so even if you're exposed to it, you don't catch it. And there are people who have been inoculated with a small dose of Christianity, and it has caused them to build up a resistance to the point that they don't think they need anything else. They are self-satisfied. They feel they're okay just the way they are. They don't think they need a Savior. And even when they're exposed to the gospel and they're exposed to the presence of Christ, they have up a defense. Their antibodies kick in. And they're not moved in the slightest bit. They may go to church on Sunday, get their little dose of Christianity, but they simply ignore Jesus much of the rest of the week. They don't oppose him. They're not hostile towards him. They just simply are not interested in knowing him any more than they do, of being any closer to him than they are, of serving him any more faithfully than they are. They're just simply not interested. They're indifferent. And multitudes of people miss Christ, even in church, simply because they don't care. I'm grateful for many here this morning who do care, who love Christ, who seek him daily, who are desiring a deeper relationship with him, who are wanting to learn more and more of him and want to grow in their relationship with him more every day. But what about you? Do you care about Christ and your relationship with Christ? Are you seeking him every day? Is there a hunger in your heart? Are you desiring to know him more? Are you wanting your life to be changed so it can be more pleasing to him? Are you wanting to know what his purpose and his destiny is for your life? What his will is for you? Are you seeking him? Or are you just indifferent? I'll come to church on Sunday, but I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Give me my little shot. inoculate me, and I'll go on about my business. Busyness, selfishness, indifference. We find these same spirits or attitudes in the world today, and even in the church. And they still cause us to miss the reality of Christmas. In fact, they cause us to miss Christ. They cause us to miss Christ, not just on December 25th, but every single day of our life. And the core of all of these attitudes is really, if we would unmask it, unbelief. Because what we believe affects how we live. And if we truly believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, it will have a powerful impact on our lives. See, we go to work faithfully every single day of the week, and we work diligently because we believe that at the end of the week, we're going to get a paycheck. So it affects how we live. We wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we get dressed, and we go to work because we believe. And we don't just go to work hit and miss when it's convenient, when we feel like it, when something else more important doesn't come up, because we believe that if we do that, we'll lose our job. So because we believe, we go to work Monday, we go to work Tuesday, we go to work Wednesday, we even work overtime, we even take work home with us because we believe. My question is, do we believe Jesus is the Christ? Because if we believe, it's going to change the way we live. We won't be too busy for him. We will make him the priority of our life. We won't just try to squeeze him in on Sunday morning. If we believe, we'll not be so self-centered that we have no room for him. But we will empty out the other things of our life so that he can become everything. And if we believe, we won't be indifferent towards him. We will hunger for him. We will seek for him. We will want more of him. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I just pray that right now, as your word goes out across this congregation, that your Holy Spirit will take that word and it would just try our hearts, Lord God. Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, that you would just convict us where there has been a spirit of busyness in our own life that is causing us to miss Christ, that is causing us to miss the wonderful blessing of everything that you desire to do and to bring in and through our lives, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would convict us today of a spirit of selfishness that is building an empire for ourselves and is not really concerned about your kingdom or building your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would convict us of a spirit of selfishness. I pray that you would convict us of a spirit of indifference. Not that we're hostile towards Jesus, not that we treat him as an enemy or that we don't want anything to do with him. We may even come to church. We may even say that we love Jesus. But there's not a driving hunger inside of us to say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to follow you more closely. I want to serve you more faithfully. I want to go deeper in you. If that's not there, convict us of a spirit of indifference. And let us come this morning and surrender those attitudes that may be causing us to miss Christ in our life, so that this coming year will be different. Will be different. And that we will meet Christ and know Christ and honor Christ every single day in increasing measure in our lives. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, first I want to ask, if perchance there's anyone here that even though you may have gone to church and heard about Jesus many times before, you personally have not come to Christ, and made your personal commitment to him to say, Lord, I believe in you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to be the Lord of my life. And I ask you to help me from this day forward to live for you. That's what the Bible calls being born again. That's the first step to entering into a new life with Christ. It's what we also refer to as being saved. Because when we come to Christ, we are saved from our sins, from the punishment, the penalty, the power of sin over our lives. And if you're here today and you have never done that, Jesus invites you to come to him this morning, to know what it is to have your sins forgiven and to be in right relationship with him. And if you're here today and you say, pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Christ this morning. I want to honor him as my Savior, as my Lord. Is there anyone? I'm going to assume then that we're all believers here. And if we believe, it'll change the way that we live. And as this message has gone forth, maybe the Holy Spirit is dealing with our heart about a spirit of busyness. We haven't done it intentionally, but we've just gotten so caught up in the busyness of life that there's just not a whole lot of room for Jesus. Or maybe there's a spirit of selfishness. It's about what I want, about living life my way. And Jesus is a threat to that if we truly surrender. Or maybe it's just a spirit of indifference. There's not really a hunger, a desire for more of Jesus. And if any of those things are speaking to our heart right now, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with us. I want to ask you to come to this altar this morning and just lay that attitude down, lay that spirit down, surrender it to the Lord and say, God, I don't want to be so busy this coming year that I'm so caught up in all of the activities of life that I miss you. Or maybe it's just that spirit of selfishness that it's been about me and my career and what I want and what I want to do. And we need to lay that down at this altar today and say, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's about you. Maybe it's a spirit of indifference. We just haven't had that hunger. And we need to have that hunger. I want to ask you to come to this altar. If any of those things are dealing with your heart right now, the Spirit is speaking to you about any of those things, I want to ask you just to come to this altar right now and just surrender it before the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We all deal with these things that sometimes in our life, we just get caught up. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. I encourage others of you to slip out and come as well.